The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining me on Three-Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf. Today we are talking about one of the deadliest sins, sloth. It's literally killing you. And to do that, I have Dr. Vondra Wright with us. Vonda is a fellow at the Hospital of Special Surgery in New York, and she's an orthopedic surgeon at the University of Pittsburgh, where she cares for patients with a variety of musculoskeletal injuries. In addition to her clinical responsibilities, she's actively developing the Center for Senior Sports and Fitness while designing research initiatives that focus on senior athletes and successful musculoskeletal aging. And one of the things I noticed, Vonda, is that recently you and your father ran, I think, your third Chicago Marathon. Is that right?
You know, it's something we've enjoyed doing our entire lives together. You know, my father has run since I was a child, and now as an adult, to be able to cross the finish line with him. And you know what's interesting, Roe, is that he has actually had heart surgery, and his doctors attribute his remarkable ability to keep running to the fact that he has been so active his entire life.
Now, America is struggling to stay fit.
Yes,
you know, my question is, does it really matter that much?
You know, Roe, I cannot think of one thing that is more important to this country than reversing the trend that we see when you look all around ourselves, which is people not being fit. We have experienced a tremendous technological advance in terms of medicine in the last 50, 75 years. Societally, we have become more efficient in terms of our jobs. Many of us sit for our jobs now. But the combination of better technology, better public health initiatives have allowed us to live longer. But the combination with our jobs being more sedentary, we're living longer, sedentary lives, which really just does not add up to living well.
Mm. You know, though, there's this, I don't know if it's a seesaw kind of thing. You hear the one side that says, well, it's really exercise that's important. The other says, well, wait, really, it's nutrition that's important. Do you think, or do you have a bias one towards the other, or do you really know, is there a difference, or what is it?
It's a numbers game, Roe. It's
okay.
A lot like finance. You know, you have debits, you have credits. Food is the credit. Exercise is the debit.
I'm long on food.
You know, frankly, the CDC in 2003 declared obesity as the most important public health issue in the United States because it increases the risk of many, many diseases. So the combination of obesity and inactivity itself negatively impacts 33 chronic diseases.
Mm.
So is it just nutrition? Of course not. Is it just exercise? Of course not. But what it is an energy imbalance. In this country, we simply take in too much food. We are a country of wealth. Even in our least socioeconomically advantaged populations, we have a lot of food and a lot of calories. That is not balanced by our energy expenditure. So it's numbers. Too much food, too little activity. But you know what? The imbalance is not that large. We're not talking hundreds of thousands of calories. If you simply expend 500 more calories a day, which is a Snickers bar or 1.5 cans of soda, if you expend that much more energy every day than you take in, you'll lose a pound a week, which is a real weight loss. Because, you know, diets that have you losing 20 pounds in 2 weeks, you know, that's a lot of water weight. But real weight loss is a pound a week. And it's not that hard to achieve.
So are you saying, you're saying cut down the intake to 500 calories and...
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm saying you need to expend, if you're trying to lose a pound a week, you need to expend 500 more calories a day than you take in.
Well, okay, now quantify that for me. Does that mean I got to do 10 jumping jacks? Do I have to, what do I need to do that?
When you walk or run, it is usually, depending on your intensity, it's usually 100 calories per mile. So if you would get on a treadmill and walk for 3 miles, and then during the day, instead of parking in the spot closest to the door, if you would park 6 blocks away and walk in, 6 blocks is a half a mile in most cities. You know, we're not talking about that much added activity.
Fonda, you know it takes me 1 minute to walk a block? That's 6 minutes each way. I don't think I have the time.
You know what, Roey? I don't think that you have the time not to.
Okay.
I think that in the same way that people commit to saving every day their wealth, and they ask you to do that, and the same way they invest in their families, frankly, and this is why we're having this program, if you do not make a daily commitment to take care of your body, you simply will not have the resources physically to look at the other three dimensions of wealth that you always talk about.
You know what happens? So I'm the weekend warrior.
Yeah.
I go out and I get my 7 days of activity in 1 day.
And how smart do you think that is?
Oh, it takes me 4 days to recuperate. And then I go back and I do it again. And you would think I would learn, except that, you know, it's, you know, and then I think, okay, well, at least I'm exercising. But in that time period, you know, I'm killing myself.
Are you also getting injured? That's the question, you know? So would I rather you do a weekend warrior exercise than no exercise at all? Yes.
Okay.
But would I rather you do weekend warrior exercise versus getting up 30 minutes earlier and walking somewhere in the neighborhood on a treadmill to work? No. It's best every day, especially when it comes to the care of chronic diseases, which I know we'll get into a little later.
But what do you think it is? I mean, you've done a lot of research. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's just lack of time, lack of, you know, just putting your mind to it? Why don't we exercise?
I think time is a big factor. We're a busy society, and until we're actually sick, we don't feel the small daily deteriorations that happen from a sedentary lifestyle. I think there's a fear of injury. I think there's a lack of knowledge. People simply don't know what to do. Actually, this is interesting, Roy. People know that they should exercise. I mean, when the national...
But people also know they shouldn't smoke, I think.
Well, yes, but you know that even that has dropped in this country. But in the 2005 National Public Health Survey, 78% of people cited exercise as the number one way to stay healthy. But we know that 70% of people in this country do not exercise. So there's a real disconnect. In fact, when I'm speaking, I say that fitness in this country is almost a myth.
Mm.
And, you know, so why don't people exercise? Well, time, lack of knowledge on how to. 52% of their doctors do not even ask them. And that's our fault. You know, we don't even ask people, are you exercising, even though we know that 33 chronic diseases are negatively impacted by a sedentary lifestyle. So it's a multifactorial thing. But like anything that's important in life, you just have to make a decision on how you're going to use your time.
What comes up as the end result or the primary thing that a sedentary life or a sedentary behavior, what does that lead to? What's the number one risk factor?
What is the number one result of a sedentary
lifestyle? Yeah, I mean, is there something? I mean, it wouldn't be cancer.
Cardiovascular disease.
Okay.
There are many things that are caused or worsened by sedentary lifestyle: coronary artery disease, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, some cancers, including colon cancer, and there's some thought that breast cancer is worsened by inactivity. Even mental health problems such as anxiety are worsened by being inactive. So if we're talking about the number one, it's probably cardiovascular disease and the diseases that surround that. But seriously, 33 chronic diseases could be changed by adding exercise to your daily regimen.
you know, I mentioned to you before we started this show that a couple of years ago they had diagnosed me with an ascending aortic aneurysm.
Ah, yes.
And so it's a problem, and the doctor says, well, he said, continue doing what you're doing. This is the cardiologist. Continue doing what you're doing. I said, well, okay, you know, the weekend warrior. He said, but then he said, don't lift anything more than 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of limits me there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want you to raise your blood pressure or your heartbeat. And so I've done nothing because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. So here I am. I'm like a deer in the headlights. And I know that the exercise that I used to get, I'm not getting. But on the other hand, I'm afraid to get the exercise, figuring I go the other way and something blows. And so, you know, I'm teetering
and
doing nothing. So in the meantime, I've got 33 diseases that are creeping up on me.
Creeping up on
and
you.
Something else is going to kill me other than the aneurysm. I don't know.
Well, you know, you with this issue, are kind of in a rock and a hard place. But what you can do is take control, Roey, which is, if he has limited your blood pressure and your heart rate, there are a myriad of amazing devices right now that you can use so that you would know exactly what your heart rate is at all times during exercise. And actually, that's the way my father runs races. His cardiologist, after his open heart surgery, gave him a limit of 140 beats per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're racing, he wears a heart rate monitor, and we know exactly what his heart is doing. And when it goes above 140, we slow down, or sometimes we even walk. But, you know, we just completed a half marathon last April, and he was a champion and, you know, did it with a heart rate monitor. So there are ways to take control of even tenuous situations like that.
How old is your dad, Mom?
He's 67.
Mm. So, how long can he keep doing that?
I hope until the day he dies. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want a slow, steady decline of frailty until the day I die. I'd like to be active and healthy until the very minute that God decides it's time for me to go.
Yeah, my goal was to die young at 80.
Exactly, exactly. Doing something fun.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little about the research that you're doing, but some of it was with the Senior Olympics, is that right?
That is right. Do you know the Senior Olympics?
I don't know much about it at all, and so when we come back, I'm going to ask you to tell us about some of that research and what you're doing and where the seniors in America are taking the lead.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back. Vonda will be back with us as we talk more about sloth. It's literally killing you. Stay tuned.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with Dr. Vonda Wright, and we are talking about sloth. It's literally killing you. And I want to read a quote, Vonda. This is from a professor that you work with, Dr. Freddie Fu, and he is the professor and chairman of orthopedic surgery at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. This is what he says about you. With Dr. Wright's leadership and passion for helping aging athletes at all ability levels, stays physically active and injury-free, we are now working to develop a unique and comprehensive research program and clinical service aimed at maximizing the physical and mental performance of both elite and recreational athletes over age 40. Mm-hmm. So you're doing some fun stuff, and tell us about some of that research.
Well, you know, we were at the University of Pittsburgh very fortunate to get involved with the Senior Olympics. What that is, Roe, is an amazing athletic event that takes place every other summer. In 2005, it was in Pittsburgh. This summer, it's going to be in Louisville. But every year, it's approximately 10,000 athletes, age 50 and over. In Pittsburgh, we had athletes from 50 to 103 who are at all levels of athletic ability for very elite athletes. And I'll give you a number that is going to stick in your mind, to more recreational. And all these people have won their state tournament. So you actually have to qualify to come to the national level.
There can't be a lot of competition at the 103 age level, is there?
Well, you know, he was a bowler. And do you know that he consistently bowled over 120? Now, many people at varying age levels cannot bowl over 120. And he only started bowling. His name was Mr. Pape. He only started bowling at 80 when he retired. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, these people are remarkable. I think they really exemplify what we are capable of with chronic activity. They just have never stopped. Or there's two populations. Either they never stopped or they stopped because they were busy and then decided to no longer be couch potatoes.
So it's not too late. Is that you're giving me the good news?
Roe, it's never too late. It is the best investment you can make in your entire life.
That's why we do the show Three-Dimensional Wealth, isn't it?
Absolutely. So I'm sorry, to get back to these amazing people. So we in 2001 and 2005, a group of researchers from the University of Pittsburgh started really trying to ask simple questions. Who are these remarkable people? What is different about their lifestyle than the average population? Are they healthier? Do they still have chronic diseases? And what we found is that, yes, they still experience chronic disease. However, they handle it better. It doesn't slow them down. They are on fewer medications. They have better bone density than their sedentary peers. Even mentally, they report themselves to be more physically and mentally healthy than what the general population reports themselves. So it's just a remarkable group and real examples to the rest of us.
Now, your dad is at 60 or 65, he wasn't in this, was he?
No, he wasn't, because the year it was in Pittsburgh, he was having open-heart surgery. So he missed his chance.
All right.
He will in the future. So, but you know what? We are capable of remarkable performance, even in our 50s, 60s, and 70s. I think people, there's this thought that, oh, I'm aging, I'm just slowing down. But Roey, do you know what the 50-year-old male winner ran the mile in?
Don't tell me 420.
434.
Oh, gee.
The 70-year-old male winner ran it in 7 minutes. So the fact that we slow down as we age, part of it is biology, but frankly, part of it is, most of it is lifestyle. So, you know, God created us to be mobile. If he didn't create us to be mobile, we would be shaped like Jabba the Hutt. But we're not. We have four limbs. So,
really, well, I hope people that are listening to this are getting motivated to do something about this.
I sure hope so.
Let me go back to this you had mentioned before. 33 chronic diseases that come from a sedentary lifestyle. Where does that come from, 33?
You know, there is a professor at the University of Missouri, Columbia, who has coined a term which really to me says it all. It's called sedentary death syndrome. And what it is, it's a compilation of diseases that are identified in our literature, in the medical literature, that can be modified by physical activity. And he estimates, just by looking at death rates in this country and how exercise affects these diseases, that there are more than 250,000 deaths a year that could be affected or prevented, frankly, by activity. Now, 250,000 deaths a year is more than any bird flu epidemic. It's more than any single, you know, newsworthy problem that we see presented. So it's sedentary death syndrome. It's an interesting concept.
Well, let's talk about some of the biggies. Diabetes.
Yeah.
How does that play in?
You know, diabetes, there are two kinds, just for its background. There are two
you were mentioning
diabetes.
Two, and I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. There are two kinds of diabetes. There is type 2 diabetes, which is historically called adult onset, and that is characterized by insulin resistance. Now, you will remember that insulin is the compound in our body that allows sugar to be used by our cells. So if a person is insulin resistant, even though our bodies may have enough sugar circulating, our body simply can't use it. But what exercise does is remarkable. Researchers at Harvard have found that even walking at a moderate intensity for 30 to 45 minutes a day lowers the risk of developing type 2 diabetes by up to 40%. So in terms of prevention, there's really nothing else that has a stronger and quicker effect than physical activity on preventing diabetes. Now, why is it important to prevent diabetes? Well, diabetes has devastating effects on all organs in the body, but particularly on the heart. So we know from some of the same literature that people with diabetes, 75% of them die of cardiovascular disease because of the way diabetes affects the heart, but that walking a half an hour to an hour a day lowers a diabetic person's risk of dying from heart disease by 40 to 50%. So for a person with type 2 diabetes, in addition to diet management, in addition to the insulin they take, wow, there's really nothing more effective for them than hitting the road for 30 minutes a day.
So that's the type 2. What about a type 1? What's that?
Type 1 diabetes is traditionally called juvenile diabetes, and what that simply means is that the organ that makes insulin, which is the pancreas, simply doesn't make enough,
mm-hmm.
or doesn't make any. And so even though the person with type 1 diabetes, their body is sensitive to insulin, they're just not making it. Or
now,
not
will exercise do anything for them, or is it just, that's just a physical situation?
You know, it's a little more tricky with type 1 diabetes. Yes, exercise is excellent for that population too, but it's not as straightforward as the type 2 diabetics. And population-wise, there are more type 2 diabetics than type 1. So
okay.
It's good for both people with both diagnoses.
All right. Now, cholesterol.
Yes.
I mean, I hear all this good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, all the numbers. I have no idea what all that means.
What does that mean
just,
exactly?
You know, yeah, I don't know how. I think it's just something to monitor, but I don't know what it does to me.
Cholesterol is a substance that the bad part of it is that it accumulates in our vessels. It can cause coronary artery disease. And therefore, by lowering your cholesterol, you can reduce your risk of coronary artery disease. Now, doesn't it seem like everything goes back to the heart?
Mm.
It really is. But why is exercise important? Well, we know that by doing things to lower your cholesterol, and there are two numbers people typically know about. There's the low density, the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol,
mm-hmm.
and there's the high density, which is the HDL, which is the good cholesterol. And the total cholesterol that is measured is about 70% LDL, 30% HDL. Well, in terms of preventing disease and cardiovascular risk, we know that by doing anything to lower the LDL by 1 point, the units are millimoles per liter, but that's not important. By lowering the number 1 point, some studies have shown a 40% decrease in cardiovascular risk. So you can have profound effects on your health heart by getting these silly numbers in check. And
but
one way to do that is exercise.
I can take one pill, see, and then I don't even have to do walk.
Yes,
and I
true.
Can take one pill and it goes down 10 points. Is that right?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah, but if you can control it naturally, doing something that is so beneficial to so many other organs, I think you should choose option A.
All right, and what you're telling me again is exercise is, again, what, the primary way
exercise.
To drop cholesterol? Is that right?
Exercise is a fundamental way to drop cholesterol and weight loss.
Now, here's one. This is a G-rated show, but erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. You know,
how is that affected?
I suspect that you have many men in your audience, and we know that exercise has, and I keep saying this word, but a profound effect on keeping a man's genitourinary system healthy. And it is because exercise causes our vessels to relax. It causes a substance in the vessels called nitric oxide, which is not an important thing to remember, to make our vessels more pliable. One of the causes of erectile dysfunction is hardening of the arteries and poor blood flow. So exercise has been shown incredibly important and a good remedy for this problem in men around the world. The studies are from every country. I have some in front of me now, Brazil, Finland, the United States. There are huge multi-country studies looking at this problem. So that's another key reason for your viewers to be interested in exercise.
But again, I could take just one pill, and that could be going away. However,
well, you know what? It doesn't prevent the problem.
That's right, and I can go back. So I'm learning a lot here about things that we can do, and it comes back to sloth, getting up off our asses.
Getting off the couch. Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. Rhonda, stay with us.
Okay.
Audience, stay with us. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Rory Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Vonda Wright, a medical doctor in from Pittsburgh. And just before we took the break, you said, get off the couch.
Absolutely.
One of the things we need to do is get some exercise. But is there a connection between TV and obesity?
There is a connection between sitting in one place for 4 hours a night, eating pizza and potato chips and candy, and obesity. So many times that is exactly what we're doing when we're watching TV. You know, I love TV, but I realize that it is not only a body-numbing experience, but also a mind-numbing experience. So is there a direct correlation? You know, as a scientist, I don't know if that study has been done. But just look around us. I really think that anything that keeps us from being active or being outside or really taking charge of our lives is detrimental to us.
Okay. One more thing that I wanted to ask you before our break. We were talking about these sort of 33 diseases that come up. What about cancer? I mean, exercise and cancer, is there a connection there?
There is, actually. The strongest evidence that exercise can prevent cancer are in two types of cancer, those being colon cancer, where research has shown that 30 to 60 minutes a day of moderate to vigorous exercise decreases the risk of developing colon cancer by 30 to 40% when compared to inactive people. So they took, what that basically means is they took 100 active people and 100 sedentary couch potatoes, and the couch potatoes got 30 to 40% more colon cancer. Now, almost the same statistics have been found to be true for breast cancer, in that physically active women had about 20 to 30% reduction in risk compared to inactive women. So it's important. And you know, and those are big numbers, Roy, 40 to 50%. So some studies...
I don't know. I can't get the connection. I can get the connection when I see, you know, diabetes or cholesterol.
Yeah.
But, you know, colon cancer, maybe because it's, you know, you got to get up off your assets, like I said before. But, you know, for me, it's a little harder one to think that exercise would be a preventative for cancer. But,
well, you know, some of the things that explain it, for instance, exercise at any level, even recreational, reduces our exposure to bad forms of estrogen. Or in the case of colon cancer, we know that keeping our bowels moving and keeping our GI system healthy decreases the risk of colon cancer. And exercise does that. It increases bowel movement and the health of the bowel itself.
You gave a presentation just recently at Madison Square Garden in the city, and I think the title of it was something like this, Life Cycles or Life Cycle of Physical Activity.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about? Is there a life cycle that, obviously, you gave a talk about it, but maybe you can play that out for us.
You know, actually, that was part of a two-part, very exciting series by the American Association of Orthopedic Surgeons and the National Athletic Training Association, where we are trying to raise media awareness of the nuts and bolts of the life cycle of physical activity, and also more recently, special considerations that baby boomers have to take in staying fit. So what we did in the first program, the life cycle program, was we divided life by decade, and orthopedic surgeons and athletic trainers talked about what do we need to do when we're 50? How do we modify that when we're 70? Because we do need to change how we stay active over the lifespan. And then in the second program, we talked about special things like arthritis or joint replacement, which is a huge issue for our aging population. Some of the things we talked about were that, you know, when we're 20 years old, we can just, most people will just go out and run or do cardiovascular, and they may throw in some resistance training. But when we age, specifically after age 40, definitely after age 50, we not only need to do the obvious cardiovascular workout, 30 to 60 minutes a day of moderate exercise, but we need to do resistance training, meaning we need to do at least one set, preferably two, of weightlifting on every major muscle group several times a week. We don't need to do six or seven sets. In fact, we don't even need to do three sets of 10. We'll get 80% of our benefit from lifting weights with each muscle group two sets a day. But the other important thing that we must add as we age is flexibility training. You know, we get, there's something to getting old and stiff, but that can be circumvented by specifically doing stretching. And then we also need to pay attention to something called balance and proprioception. As we age, for some reason, and there, we know why this is, but our body forgets how to keep us upright. But it can be totally retrained. So a workout regimen for someone 40, 50, 60, 70 must include at least four components.
What were those again?
Cardiovascular.
Yep.
Resistance training.
Flexibility.
Flexibility and balance and proprioception. And it doesn't mean that you have to exercise for 4 hours a day. It just means that you have to be efficient and use the wisdom that you've gained over the years to do it more smartly.
You know, it's interesting. About an hour before the show, I had did a 401k enrollment meeting, and we were talking about sort of life cycle funds as options.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as someone gets older, we change the way the funds are allocated, and we do things differently based upon that. And yet in our industry, those are things that we know.
Right.
As the professionals, and we're trying to educate the participants in these plans and say, okay, this is what it should look like. But, you know, who helps us do that when we're 50 and 60 and 70? Who helps us train that? And, you know, how do we develop a physical activity action plan?
Well, Roey, that's why I'm here today. And more specifically, you know, there are resources, but I have to tell you that sports medicine, and part of the reason I got interested in this is that we do a tremendous job as orthopedic surgeons taking care of athletes from adolescence up to the professional level, but very few people have focused on the majority of the population, which is 40 and over. So that's why we're developing this Institute for Performance and Fitness in the Athlete Over 40 so that you don't have to ask that question of me in the future. It will be everywhere. But where can people find it now? Well, the talks that we gave at Madison Square Garden and on booming seniors, the second part of it, are on the Internet. That can be looked up. I'm in the process of writing a book on this subject. I'm glad you asked.
What's the name of that book?
It's called Still Got Game, Performance and Fitness Over 40.
Okay.
So hopefully
when's that coming out? It took me about 3 years to write my book, so it took a while.
You know, it will be a little bit. You know how that book writing thing goes. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm happy to have people ask me specific questions if they'd like by going to my website.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're
so,
right.
But is it as simple as, you know, go down and join the gym?
It can be. You know, there's
okay.
fantastic programs right now. There's a program called Silver Sneakers that is for seniors with the specific aim of getting people out and exercising in a wise way. But, you know, I think an important thing to do is just not to go out and try what you did when you were 20. You should hire, if you're just getting started, an athletic trainer who knows about this subject and interview them as you would for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the specific needs? And only hire those who do, frankly. But anyone in our age category who goes out to exercise for the first time really needs to get their heart checked and see a cardiologist and get a thorough physical to make sure that they're not going to compromise the vital organs by going out and being a weekend warrior. So I would start in that way.
Okay. Early on in the show, you said something about bone density, and I really didn't think about it before that there was a correlation. I always think of that kind of thing as, you know, sort of osteoporosis in women. I have some older widows and clients, and they're shrinking, but... Does that happen in men?
Oh, Roey, it does. You know, it's the National Osteoporosis Foundation estimates that 2 million men have osteoporosis. And but it's usually not discovered until two things happen. Either this man in his late 60s or 70s falls down and breaks his hip, or one of the kids comes home and says, "Hey, Dad, you're kind of shrinking." And that, you know, that's the first time men kind of pay attention to that kind of thing. But loss of bone density is a real problem in men. It just happens about 10 years later. And the medical community right now is becoming more and more aware of that issue. But the same things that are important in women are important in men. Calcium intake, vitamin D intake, doing resistance activity, be it weight training or running or impact sports.
Okay. And then it has to do something, I guess, with also muscle mass, losing muscle mass or having lean muscle mass as well. Is that what you're trying to shoot for?
It's interesting. Studies show that very, very thin, frail men have low bone mineral density. So it becomes a balance. You don't want to be obese, but you cannot let yourself become thin and frail with low muscle mass. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to take one more break, Rhonda, and then we'll be back for our final section of Three-Dimensional Wealth, so stay tuned.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu. The education you need to succeed.
Built on a foundation of honorable intent, nonprofit organizations do more for our society and our economy than may be immediately obvious. These complex organizations provide goods and services to various sectors of our society, including sheltering the homeless and indigent, educating children, providing medical care, filling communities with art and music, tending victims in the wake of devastating natural disasters, and meeting the growing needs of America's youth in major cities throughout the country. But how much do we know about nonprofits, and what are we doing to support them? On New Thinking for Nonprofits, with host, philosopher, educator, corporate advisor, and scholarly coach to executives, Dr. Terry Macaluso and her expert guests provide insight and understanding about nonprofit organizations. This sector of our society is a new social and economic force with extraordinary power and value. New Thinking for Nonprofits, with Dr. Terry Macaluso, broadcast each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. New Thinking for Nonprofits, your inside look at the people, the services, the resources, and the commitment that support our expanding social sector.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roey Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roey Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled, One of the Deadliest Sins, Sloth. It's literally killing you. And we have Dr. Wright, Vonda Wright, who is one of the few women in the field of orthopedic surgery. And she is assistant professor of orthopedic surgery at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. And she is enlightening us on a number of different areas. And I want to go back to this whole idea of, you know, how fast are we aging? We talked about this, life cycle of physical activity and what you should be doing at your, 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and so on. But are we aging faster today?
Well, I did a study looking at the senior athletes because I wanted to know, is our aging process a slow, steady decline, or is it a precipitous drop, or exactly, what happens to us? So I wanted to look at a population that wasn't affected by sedentary lifestyle, because I think that really clouds the picture. So I chose these athletes, and what I did was analyze their running performance from age 50 to age 85. And what I found, Roey, is that from 50 to 75, we maintain pretty well. We lose less than 2% of our physical capacity in terms of running a year. But at 75, something happens. Biology catches up. And even in these best of the best people, at 75, our physical capacity drops to almost 8% a year. So how do we apply that to the general population? Well, what it says to me is that if our baby boomer population, all 77 million of them, are turning 60 this year, it means that we have 15 years to get a real handle on this problem of sedentary lifestyle before the effects of sedentary lifestyle at age 75 really overwhelm us personally and societally. So how fast do we age? Well, we age pretty well. If we stay active, we age pretty well And then at 75, we begin to see real physical changes where biology can't keep up. Now, I don't want you to think that at 75 we lose all hope. Many studies have shown that even in 95-year-old nursing home residents, putting them on a regimen of exercise can really reverse their frailty in a significant way. So it's never too late, Roey, but objectively speaking, at 75, biology starts to take over.
We did a show several months ago with Truett Cathy, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yes.
I think 87 years old. He's still working.
Absolutely.
Going strong, having a great time. And, I mean, it's fantastic.
You know, he's probably going strong because he never stopped working.
That's right.
It may be that he just never told his body it was time to slow down.
One of the things that we're finding as we tie in sort of the economics of the retirement planning with what we're talking about in terms of, you know, personal wealth, and is that as people get older, those people that as they, quote, retire, if they do nothing, their mortality or when they die is much closer to their retirement age. And if they're active, mm-hmm. mentally or even in their workflow, mm-hmm. and they do something else, whether it's volunteer, that in fact they live longer. And what we're tying in now, and part of the retirement plans that we see, is that people are saying, you know, when I get to, quote, retirement, mm-hmm. I plan on cutting back, if possible, my full-time employment to at least some kind of employment status. And it does two things. One is, I think it says it's going to keep me active, mm-hmm. but also because the cost of living is significant, and the savings pattern that we've had in America has been very low,
right.
that it fills the gap and, in fact, you know, sort of completes the cycle of how do we get all these things together so we're not sitting there, you know, with, you know, drooling in a wheelchair, and we're going to need income in order to support the lifestyle. So I think that if we can do those things and get the exercise that we need, in fact, our mental capacity will be greater. Our employment skills will last longer. And in fact, economically, it can help us lead to financial independence, which is the objective. And I think what you're saying is that if we don't grab a handle on it now, societally, who's going to support those people that will need extended long-term care, the things that, and taking them out of the workforce, mm-hmm. it could be a terrific problem.
Societally, we will not be able to handle it, frankly. You know, we have to find a solution to this, which we both have said it 20 times this hour. Get off the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the way you think about retirement now, because when I look ahead and when I think to my own parents, it's almost like we have a second opportunity. You know, we've had the same kind of career our whole life, the same type of thing, but you know, now that we need to stay active and engage in a different kind of employment, wow, you could really explore something creative you could never do, you know, in your first career.
Well, and part of it is also now, think about it, the wisdom that you bring
mm-hmm.
and experiences, I mean, that's that personal wealth that really helps right. to enhance the value of what you bring to whatever situation it is.
It's very exciting to think forward to. Getting to be that creative and that wise about what you're doing.
You also had a chart that I liked,
uh-huh.
and it was a level. What level is your fitness? And you could look down this thing, and there were five categories.
Exactly.
And starting from the top,
right.
you have the physically elite. And of course,
correct.
I guess those are those senior Olympic athletes. And then you have physically fit,
mm-hmm.
and then physically independent,
mm-hmm.
and physically frail, and then physically dependent.
Right.
And so you kind of define these, but then you had different goals that you would set,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of some training. How do you move up the list? I mean, if I were to identify myself on this list, to be honest, when it says exercise 2 to 3 times a week, mm-hmm. and do that, I go, well, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out that weekend. So I'm really in the middle.
You're an independent person.
Yeah, now.
You know, most
people live
that way.
If I'm really going to be improve the totality of my wealth, I got to move up.
Everybody should be fit. That's your goal, level 4 out of the 5. I think, however, most of us are a three. We live independently without major health problems, but we have low health and fitness reserves, meaning that one bad illness would really knock a blow for us, or one, you know, one impact physically could, we have nothing in the bank, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, we're living paycheck to paycheck.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
That's an excellent analogy.
Yeah. So our goals, if we're independent, is to maintain where we are, number one, because we certainly don't want to become frail. But our biggest goal is actually to move up to the physically fit level, because at that point you have a little money in the bank. You know, you can live off your savings for a while if something happens to you.
Mm. Two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much exercise is enough? How much sleep is enough? We're running out of time, but just give us your quick overview.
Exercise, 30 minutes a day of moderate cardiovascular exercise minimum. That can be a brisk walk. Number two, you must, as we talked before, implement some resistance training, 2 sets of 10 on every major muscle group, at least 2 to 3 times a week. Number three, flexibility. Number four, get out there and do some balance training or join a Pilates or a Tai Chi class. And then finally, how much sleep is necessary? You know, the literature says 6 to 8 hours is what we need. And if we don't take the time to get that, there are real physical changes that happen, including obesity. So everything in our body is related, Roey.
Okay. Vonda, our time is up. I want to thank you for joining us this past hour.
You're welcome.
It's been intriguing. I want to thank the listeners for listening in. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion. I invite you to join me next week at the same time for more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roey Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.
More and more people are starting their